Hello and welcome to another Thursday night of Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio. I'm Michelle Hager, the managing partner of Blue Cirrus Consulting in South Carolina. And tonight, our first guest I'm excited to have is Lloyd Sermons. He's the director of the Southeast Telehealth Resource Center. Hi, Lloyd. Thanks for being on the show tonight. How are you doing?
Hey, Michelle. Man, I'm doing great. And as always, it's awesome to be able to be here with you tonight.
Thank you so much. I know Joe's going to be jealous because you and Joe are good friends. I know he's going to be one hoping that he could be here, be jealous. But
That's right.
we're always discussing telehealth on this show each week. We want to inform our listeners of the benefits of receiving care, both in the home, remotely, in all different types of virtual types of modalities. And we brought you on the show tonight to talk about telehealth and how your organization is helping other organizations as well as patients every day. But tell our listeners a little bit about the telehealth resource centers and why they are important to the adoption and sustainability of virtual care.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a federally funded entity. We're actually funded by the Health Resources Services Administration, or HRSA, which is a part of the Health and Human Services. Our funding comes specifically through the Office for the Advancement of Telehealth. And our purpose really is to advance telehealth and telemedicine across the United States and the territories. There's 14 total telehealth resource centers. Two of those organizations are national organizations. You have the Center for Connected Health Policy that deals with policies at a national level. You have TTAC that deals with the technology side of things. The remaining 12 telehealth resource centers are actually regional telehealth resource centers. So we pretty much have the entire United States and its territories covered. For me, in the southeastern portion, I cover the states of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. And now, in this last round of funding, we're actually added the U.S. Virgin Islands and then the island of Puerto Rico. So we actually, that's our territory that we cover specifically.
And I know you and I and others were at the first annual conference for the U.S. Virgin Islands and the challenges that the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico experienced during COVID and this and the provider shortages that they have. And so they're looking for telehealth to help them not only bring more providers to the island, but also to access different types of care that they might not have on those island nations. Tell us about some of the projects that you're working on, if that's in the Virgin Islands or in other areas that you're covering in the Southeast TRC.
Yeah, so of course, you mentioned the first annual telehealth conference in the U.S. Virgin Islands last year on St. Thomas. That's actually coming up in June. So we haven't been as involved in working with them on that, but that's something we helped kick off. And so we're excited that they're going to be continuing that. And that's going to be an annual event for them. We are in discussions now with Puerto Rico on working with them in the same fashion on doing an annual telehealth conference for them. That'll be working closely with the Department of Public Health there in Puerto Rico. We're looking at probably late January, early February of next year, or possibly late February. And I say that because we're also working with some other TRCs and then the Centers of Excellence at Mississippi and then MUSC there in South Carolina on doing a regional telehealth conference. So that would be TexLaw, our telehealth resource center that's based in Texas, South Central Telehealth Resource Center that's based at the University Medical Center, Arkansas Medical Center, Medical Science Center. And then CTREC, and then the two centers of excellence. We're actually looking at doing a larger scale regional telehealth conference. We haven't set the location or the date, but that's going to be early next year as well. So we're looking maybe the end of February, early March. We have an event coming up in May, an Alabama telehealth forum. You can find information about that on our website, which is setrc.us. As a matter of fact, all the events that we're participating in, work group meetings or whatever it is, we post those on our website. So that's a good place to go check that out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So it's S-E-E as in echo,
That's right.
T-R-C, C as in cat there on the end. So it's a great resource if you're currently doing telehealth or you're thinking about doing telehealth or you just want some answers about telehealth. They're in different areas of the country. So for those in the Northeast, there's a Northeast TRC. For those in the Southeast, Lloyd is the director there. So you can reach out to him directly and again, reach out to those websites. You mentioned about the Center for Excellence. I want to give our listeners a little bit of context there. Not sure everyone really knows about these centers of excellence. There's actually two that have been defined across the country. They generally already have some great telehealth programs in place, but the government has actually identified them. Those two centers of excellence actually exist. One in my state of South Carolina at the Medical University of South Carolina is a center for excellence. And then, as you mentioned, the University of Mississippi Medical Center also has a center for excellence. These are designed specifically to conduct research, to create best practices, and to advance the profession of telehealth. So I think it's great that TRCs are going to be contributing to that. It's certainly a great partnership in that way. But all of these efforts around virtual care and digital health, no matter which terminology we use, although I tend to use virtual care a little bit more overarching now than telemedicine or digital health specifically around technology, it's still trying to address, and we still have challenges in the provider community. And talk to us about from your resource center. I know in the South Carolina states, we've done a lot with education of older patients, trying to reach folks that are in rural areas, educating on just technology in general, because we found that even though the technology might be available, not necessarily being used at that same level. So talk about the challenges that you have seen and the resource centers have seen around, hospitals, clinics, providers, whatever challenges you're seeing.
Yeah, it's a very oh, it's just a very fluid landscape right now. I think that might be a good way to describe it. Of course, with the end of the public health emergency looming, that's the end. That public health emergency from a federal standpoint is going to end May the 11th. So come May 12th, there's going to be changes that are going to happen where people have been used to receiving services in a certain way because there was some relaxing of policies and rules around, the delivery of care. I like, what you say. I like to use that term virtual care. And so, there's just a lot, there's changes that are coming. And I think right now what we're seeing is a lot of questions. We're getting those questions every day. I'm presenting this week on Friday in Alabama. And that's going to be my presentation. Salima, one of our team members, just presented in down in Puerto Rico. Same thing. People are asking the question, what's coming down the pipe? So what changes are we to expect? And I think there's still some question marks out there, right? Because you're dealing
Lots.
with Medicare and you're dealing with what's changing with Medicare. Well, then you have the DEA and the prescribing rules around the
Yep.
prescribing of controlled substances used via telemedicine or via virtual care, those changes. And then you got, OCR and some of the changes that are going to be coming with, platform and security and HIPAA compliance. I mean, so all these things, are going to come to a head come May the 11th. So we've seen things like the Consolidated Appropriations Act this year that really extended that transition period out, so that some of these changes and people who are receiving care and providers who are providing care will have some time and a little bit of leeway to make some adjustments that need to be made. So we're looking at closely at the so the DEA closed the comment period around the prescribing their prescribing rules, which I think is safe to say they weren't quite what people were expecting,
Nope.
right? So they took a lot of comments, and so it's going to be interesting to see come. I think they're wanting to have that out pretty soon, pretty quickly, kind of a turnaround time for those new policies to come out. So there's just, it's a very fluid situation. This is some of the chat, probably the biggest challenge, I think, because a lot of health systems, a lot of providers, a lot of caregivers, people are sitting back and they're saying, what now? Right. And so they're looking for TRCs, and that's one of the things we do, right? So we're here to provide assistance, and we're trying to stay as up to speed on these changes as we possibly can be. That's a challenge, in and of itself. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, I think there's a blessing and a curse around virtual care and telehealth, and specifically there's the benefits of it and the innovation that's happening. But the curse around that is anytime there's that much innovation, there's a huge amount of disruption. And because we are seeing the end of the public health emergency, which when this airs will be already passed, we're actually seeing individual states changing their laws. So people aren't really able to keep in up to date with these changes. So in the state of South Carolina, we're trying to look at passing laws around making some of the telehealth waivers that you spoke about permanent in the state of South Carolina. So allowing for home to be a place of service for permanently for lots of different types of services. And I think we talked actually in this last show about the DEA challenges and folks that are having. If you currently right now have ADHD medication or are getting any type of controlled substance via telehealth, because that's either through a mental health provider that's online or testosterone, we talked about that for some of the men's health and women's health and maybe getting some other types of medications. These areas are under question right now because of the DEA's rule. Requiring at this at their proposed rule, they're requiring you to have an in-person visit, which is impossible for these providers
I
to
know
accomplish.
that's crazy, and I think that's probably kind of the kink, that probably the one thing that most people were not expecting, right? And so it's going to be very interesting. I did see recently where it says that the DEA anticipates having something solid out by I think finalized by May the 11th. So we'll see. That's a couple weeks out, so we'll see how that goes, right?
I was hoping that that would be a little bit sooner because businesses to turn on a dime like that is
Yeah,
not
gonna be
fair.
tough, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, the DEA is not a care provider. They're an enforcement
Yeah,
agency. So they
I
don't have much sympathy for us,
know, right?
unfortunately. But you did mention that you are going to have an upcoming forum where folks can learn more about this DEA scenario. They can learn more about virtual care in general and also some of the reimbursement questions that people are having. And that will be on May 11th. Tell us a little bit about that program, who you would like to, who should attend that program. I know it's in Mobile, Alabama on May 12th. So
Yeah,
right
May
after
12th.
the end of the right after the end of the public health emergency.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I don't know that I was even thinking about that when I scheduled it for May 12th. But so yeah, we're going to be in Mobile, Alabama on Friday, May 12th. We're going to be on the campus of the University of South Alabama, their student center. They have a, I mean, their student center is fabulous. I mean, it's a great facility, a great venue to do meetings. But yeah, we've got a gentleman, Dr. David Elkin, University of Missouri, who's going to talk about, they're doing some autism stuff with virtual reality. So that's exciting. We have Blue Cross and Blue Shield's going to talk a little bit about their policies. There's some changes coming for Alabama as well. And even Alabama Medicaid's changing their policies. We're hoping that those policies are going to be coming, their updated telemedicine policy is going to be coming out here pretty soon. We're doing cybersecurity, so we have a session on cybersecurity since that's really become a man, that's a hot topic right now.
Yep.
With just so much going on, there was a university here in Georgia that recently had a little bit of a breach, we'll call it, and cybersecurity is one of those things I think a lot of people don't think about until it happens to them.
Right.
And what we're finding and what people will tell you, those in that profession, the breaches, when you find out that the breach has happened, typically it's happened long before that. They've been sitting back gathering data and all that. So we're going to talk about, we've got someone who is retired FBI that's going to actually be talking about cybersecurity. So we're excited. They can also, if you want information on that, like I said, we have a conference webpage on our website. You go to the events tab under that Southeastern Telehealth Resource Center website. Just click on events and it's right there.
Yeah, so that website again is setrc.org, correct? Is it
Dot
org?
US as in United States. Yep. So we are a dot US site.
Okay, great, great. Thanks for that clarification. And I think the sessions that you're talking about in particular, for those that are doing telehealth and maybe listening to the show, the FBI actually does a very good job in helping and providing information to health systems and healthcare providers on the threats of cybersecurity. There's a large ransomware attack to a large health system in Northern Florida recently, which essentially took down their entire EHR. I don't think people understand the breadth of challenge that is. That means patients' histories are not available to them. They're not able to electronically send orders back and forth. They just sort of froze everything until they were able to unwind this terrible nest that had been created there by these hackers. And they're requesting money to be released. And as we all know, health systems are struggling to maintain. And so now we are asking an organization that is financially strapped to provide more money to just get out from underneath this nest that has been created by these hackers. So it's a real problem.
Oh yeah. It's
So
a
I'm
big
glad.
business. I mean, and so we live in such a virtual world now. We're technology driven and everything that we do is it's technology. And so our data, all of our personal information is out there, right? And I mean, people don't think about it. Every time you sign up for something online or whatever. So, like I said, we don't think about it until something happens. So we don't think about it. These systems, health systems, and caregivers. Whether you're a small practice, large practice, you're a municipality. It's a big business shutting down municipalities.
Yep.
So. That's why we like doing the cybersecurity thing. It's kind of a piece that we do now moving forward, as is a lot of people that are doing conferences because it is an important piece, no doubt.
Exactly. And I think I can't recall, I might be quoting this wrong, but I think medical information is something like 4 to 10 times more valuable than just your name and date. And the reason for that is they can do Medicare fraud or Medicaid fraud, and also prescription drug fraud. So lots of avenues for folks. So healthcare is often unfortunately targeted. So we are talking to the resource. This is going to be a resource center show. So we're going to be talking to all of the resource centers across the country, or several of them across the country, as I talk to you about the Northeast Telehealth Resource Center. We'll be speaking to them on this show, as well as the Great Plains Resource Center there up in the upper Midwest. So we'll be speaking to them as well on this show. So talk to me about how the resource centers work together. You mentioned that you're looking at a regional conference, but how do you on the day-to-day work together as organizations?
Yeah, so we're individually, so we're 14 individually funded entities. So we're fully autonomous. But a few years back, we did kind of come to a place where we realized that we were, if we could just pull our resources together, we would be a much more powerful entity, and we all, of course, have the same end in mind, and that is to advance telehealth and telemedicine to provide that technical support and assistance and do education and all that stuff. So we decided that we would pool our resources together. We decided that we would form actually a consortium. So we all have an agreement that is signed, all 14 telehealth resource centers. We have one website, which is telehealthresourcecenter.org, where we pool all of our resources together. So that website is just resource rich. And then we do work together from time to time, whether it be doing webinars. We do monthly webinars as the National Consortium of Telehealth Resource Centers. When you see us at ATA and these, the NAC conferences and things like that, we're typically branded as the National Consortium of Telehealth Resource Centers. So I might be there at ATA as CTREC, but we're there as the national consortium. So we partner up every opportunity we get. But I think at the end of the day, the big thing is we realize we're way more beneficial when we pool our resources together. And two, there's a lot of times where people might reach out to me, for example, with a question or a need. And if I don't have that, I know that I have 13 other telehealth resource centers that I can reach out to. So if I don't have the answer or the resource that someone needs, there's a really good chance that I can get that answer from another TRC, or that resource. And so, yeah, we just really, we have become one big family, and it's kind of a little bit of a, a little bit of a joke within kind of HRSA, because typically your grantees don't work together like we do. And so, as a matter of fact, we have two meetings per year where we actually pull together, and we meet to talk about how do we continue to do what we're doing to the benefit of the people. And we're doing actually a meeting next week. Danielle and her group in the Northeast is actually hosting. We'll come together and continue to see how we can do business as the National Consortium of Telehealth Resource Centers.
Perfect time to go to Maine.
Yes.
Beautiful time of year to be in the Maine, in the beautiful state of Maine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I know it's always fun when it's on the West Coast and you can take that trip to Hawaii, but it's nice to be
Yeah.
able to
No.
coordinate all together and to be able to share information across the organizations. And I should note that the services and information that the resource centers provide is, as you said, grant funded, therefore it is free.
All
So
free.
if you're looking for great information on public policy, on reimbursement, on operational help, on technology, as you said, the TTEC organization, that's what they're doing day in and day out, and all of their services are free. So keep that in mind. So that's SETRC.US.
That's right.
And check out that website in the future. Lloyd, thank you so much. I appreciate your time today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. As I said, we always want our listeners to have helpful information on this show about healthcare and telehealth. And I really appreciate all the information that you shared today. This was great. Have a great rest of your week. And thanks for educating us on the Southeast TRC. And have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, always great to be with you guys.
Pleasure to have you on the show. And we will be right back with our next guest on Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio.